And this is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cremery. A Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska former Chief Justice has been appointed to the Not Invisible Act. Michelle Jekathot Demert has served in many roles in her time as a lawyer and a judge, but she knows that this next role will have its own challenges.
This is not an easy commission to be part of. We will have to take testimony. We will have to hear stories.
She thinks hearing these testimonies from victims' families will make her eager to see change enacted quickly, maybe more quickly than possible.
And of course, you know, as a problem solver, what I want to do is help find solutions. And I may not be able to immediately respond in that way.
She also says that she expects she will need support from elders, which is a role that the commission lacks right now.
Missing from the commission, I think, is a named tribal elder who, you know, who could really hold space for us and send us off in a good way and also, you know, just help us because this is going to be really hard.
The Not Invisible Act Commission meets for the first time in 2 weeks. Demert says they plan to start broadly in their look at communities impacted by high rates of missing and murdered Indigenous people.
Why do we have this crisis? And of course, it's not an easy why to answer because it's a historical factor. And so we have to acknowledge the issues that led us to this situation.
From there, the commission plans to use this research to shape policies and improve communication between tribal, state, and federal resources. The commission is 37 members that include tribal leaders, survivors, and families of those who've been missing and murdered, as well as law enforcement. According to the Department of Justice, the commission was created to, quote, combat the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous people. Tamara Drew of the Alaskan Native Women's Resource Center and Vivian Cortuhiz, the CEO of the Association of Village Council Presidents, are also on the commission. Secretary of the Interior Deb Holland announced the commission on May 5th, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples Awareness Day. And in other news, Alaska. Last fall, Alaska Logistics left 2 barges to freeze in the YK Delta rivers. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports 1 barge has dislodged and become a free-floating ghost barge, winding down the Kuskokwim River. It's been stuck at the Muchivik Slough, just below Tuluksuk, since Tuesday.
The ghost barge has a name. It's called the Lily. It traveled about 170 river miles down the Kuskokwim after dislodging from the ice when the river broke up at Georgetown on Sunday. Alaska Logistics owns the barge and left it to freeze in place last fall when an early cold snap sealed its wintry fate.
Just, I don't know, it kind of caught us.
That's Ellen Long, a co-owner and manager of Alaska Logistics. Long said he made the decision to let the Lily freeze into the river when ice started to form around it in October, and its accompanying tugboat experienced motor issues. But he did take a couple of measures to secure it for breakup. His crew tried to brace the barge against a sandbar. Then they fastened the loader that it was carrying to its top. And third, they pumped it full of water to try to weigh it down to prevent it from capsizing.
We pumped about 15 or 20,000 gallons of water into it.
But despite their efforts, the barge got loose and the loader on top moved. Willie Phillips from Tuluksuk saw it more than 150 miles into its journey. He took a boat out for logging and spotted it on Tuesday as it was passing the village.
Seems like it shifted a little bit forward. The front area was lower than the back.
It moved past the village and lodged itself into a sandbar at Muchivik Slough. Other villagers along the Kuskokwim have been checking on it. Someone in Akiak traveled up the river to take photos of the Lily and posted them to Facebook. Long, the Alaska Logistics manager, chuckles when he thinks about the barge entertaining Kuskokwim residents. He's not concerned about the barge drifting too far or floating to sea.
The likelihood of it getting out the mouth is very, very, very small. It'll go aground somewhere, probably even before, into Pakiak would be my guess, somewhere down there, somewhere probably around Oscarville.
Long says it's not safe to go after the barge until the ice is all cleared up from the river. Ice is jammed on the Kuskokwim at Bethel. But once it's safe, Long says it should be easy to get the barge back.
We have our own tugboats and different friends that would help us find it. People kind of on standby and fishing boats.
The Lily wasn't the only Alaska Logistics barge to freeze into YK Delta rivers last fall. Another barge froze near Eek. But they anchored that one and it stayed in place. In 2019, Alaska Logistics had another barge freeze in place and then free float down the Kuskokwim during spring breakup. That one traveled from Aniak to Bethel. Long says his company has been moving freight by barge in the region for 20 years. He blames climate change for making freeze-ups and breakups, quote, more dramatic. When Long left the barges to freeze into the rivers in the fall, the Coast Guard told KYUK they were planning to do an investigation to see if there was any wrongdoing on the part of Alaska Logistics. The Coast Guard did not return phone calls on Thursday. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Thursday marked the end of National Nurses Week, a celebration that ends on Florence Nightingale's birthday. In Anchorage, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium packed the week with events to celebrate their nursing staff, from pizza parties and organized hikes to a rooftop carnival. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early visited the carnival, and has more on how nursing staff are breathing a little easier after 2 years of a pandemic.
Nurses stand in line waiting for popcorn on a sunny afternoon atop the ANTHC parking garage. It's one of roughly a dozen colorful booths at the carnival. Mary Martin is president of ANTHC's nursing staff and is the event's main organizer. She says after 2 years of having to wear masks and other protective gear around each other, seeing the smiles of her fellow nurses is a joy.
Oh man, it's amazing. It's just outstanding. People are laughing, having fun, just the energy is high. And it's a beautiful day. I think the sunshine is just making everybody happy as well, too, with all the sweets.
Near the popcorn, there's another booth that buzzes with a cotton candy maker and fills the rooftop with an air of faint sweetness. The lighthearted carnival is a far cry from the intense days that Anchorage nursing staff had to endure over the past 2 years, wading through spikes in COVID-19 cases, severe illness, and death. Sometimes they were the only source of comfort for their patients. Jackie Cantrell is director of nursing for the intensive care unit at ANTHC. She says when the CDC issued guidelines barring people from visiting patients, it left some of them without their family in their final moments.
Where you would have someone in end of life needing, you know, wanting their family by them, we weren't able to facilitate that always. And so that put nurses at the bedside during end of life.
One way ANTHC has tried to keep their nursing staff in high spirits was to throw several crafternoon series where nurses could leave their hectic workplaces and focus their minds on meditative arts and crafts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like it.
At a booth at the carnival, Caitlin Lowen is walking nurses through how to make decorative tiles by painting and then adding rubbing alcohol to make distinct patterns.
It's really meant to be like a reflective moment for our staff to take away from the bedside or away from their units to use their creative minds and to be with other people in a different setting and to get to make something beautiful to take away from this environment for themselves.
In addition to the heavy workload, ER nurses like Marcy Guest said it was also disheartening to hear from people who weren't taking the pandemic as seriously as health officials. She received apathy at best and insults at worst. Guest said it also didn't help that staff were stretched thin.
It's been very trying. There's been shortages everywhere, like for nursing and doctors and CNAs and respiratory and housekeeping and everybody that it takes to run a hospital.
But you wouldn't know how trying the last 2 years had been from watching Guest smile and encourage people to try to hit her in the face with a whipped cream pie. Her booth produced laughs and cheers as contestants walked up, took aim, and... It's the second pie to the face Guest has taken this afternoon.
Because the other person, she just ran up and threw it in my face. Like, so the first person to actually get me, yep.
While the pandemic is ongoing and COVID-19 cases continue to pop up in Alaska, it's gotten to a point where, for one sunny day, nurses could relax, meet with colleagues, enjoy some treats, and, if their aim is true, attempt to hit their boss with a whipped cream pie.
All right, made my best here.
Here we go.
In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
In other news, a fire that burned just over 4 acres off the Sterling Highway Tuesday was the second wildfire in Cooper's Landing this week. Both fires are now under control, and the Tuesday fire was fully contained as of Wednesday evening. But the fires are a reminder for residents of the risk that fire season poses to the community. And as for what the weather... We've returned to more Juneau spring rains today. It's currently 51 degrees with scattered showers and 12-mile-an-hour winds. The low tonight is 43 degrees. More showers are expected on and off through Saturday, but Sunday may be drier, possibly even sunny. Sunday sunset is at 9:14 p.m. tonight. We're now getting 16.5 hours of daylight each day. Sunday is a full moon, the flower moon. This is KTOO.